And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
We have been discussing the subject of God's plan for salvation. God had a plan to save man from his sins, even before the world was created, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. God's plan is the only plan that will be effective in saving man from his sins. There are many who have altered or come up with their own plan. Paul spoke of this happening even in his own day, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. We notice that salvation comes by the grace of God, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. We also notice that it involves faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In this passage, the faith that is mentioned is in reference to the gospel system of faith. The gospel system of faith contains facts which are to be believed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We cannot obey facts. We can believe them, and then we are to obey the commandments that Jesus has given based on those facts. You see, based on our faith, we are to obey the command to repent of our sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. We are to confess that Jesus is the Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. We are also to be baptized in order to obtain salvation, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Dear friends, each one of these commandments are given by Jesus the Christ, even the command to be baptized. However, the subject of baptism in our world today has become very controversial. There are many in the religious world who have a great misunderstanding about what baptism is. Many believe that it is simply an outward sign of an inward faith. They teach that it is not essential to salvation, although Jesus himself commanded it. Jesus commanded, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Mark 16 and verse 16. This morning, to help us to better understand the subject of baptism, let's examine the subject from the question, baptized into what? You see, four times in the New Testament, we can find the phrase, baptized into. We must understand the difference in the prepositions in and into. The word into describes movement. You see, it is from the outside to the inside of, or to the midst or depth of, according to Webster's dictionary. You see, we have the illustration that we can walk into the house, or we can jump into the lake, but we cannot say that we jump in the lake until we first jumped into the lake. The word in describes location. Webster again defines this word as contained or enclosed by, inside, or within. You see, we can say that we are in the room after we have entered into the room. Dear friends, nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are baptized in. Let us look at these four areas that the Bible says that we're baptized into. Number one, the Bible says that we are baptized into Christ. Notice in your Bibles with me, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3 and verse 27 is one of the two times this phrase is found in the New Testament. 77 times in the New Testament, the phrase in Christ is found. We therefore need to see how, according to the Bible, we get into Christ. Notice with me Galatians 3 and verse 27, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We can understand the terminology that Paul used in this particular passage. Consider this illustration. We cannot say that we are in an article of clothing, such as a jacket, until we first put on that jacket. We can't say that we are in Christ until we first put on Christ. You see, the Bible says that we put him on in baptism. Once a person is baptized into Christ, notice some of the things that we have. First of all, we become the children of God, or sons. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Paul says, "For ye are all the children The New King James Version translates it sons. We are all the children or sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The literal word that is translated here is actually sons. There is a separate word that is translated children. Why does Paul use the word sons? Well, consider the following verses, 28 and 29. Paul said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, that is possessive, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You see, under the old law, only the sons inherited. However, under the new law, the new covenant, all are sons, all that are obedient, and they therefore will inherit. You see, every child that comes into this world by being born. Thus, they are a new creature. When we are baptized into Christ, we too are new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Did you notice? Paul said, if any man be in Christ, location, then he is a new creature. You see, at some point in time, every individual has become stained by sin. However, we are baptized into Christ. Therefore, we can have a new or a fresh start on life. We have been spiritually born again. We are a new creature. This is the lesson that Jesus was teaching in John chapter 3 when he was talking with Nicodemus. Not only are we a new creature, but when we are baptized into Christ, then we are redeemed. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "In whom," in reference to Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." The word redeem or redemption has the idea of buying or purchasing back. And in this instance, we are bought back from sin. Dear friends, in Christ, we have salvation. Consider with me what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul very clearly stated that salvation is in Christ. Paul was speaking of the salvation from the curse of sin. Every person has a need to obtain the salvation from sin. And the only place that we can find it is by being in Christ. In Christ, we have union with Christ. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, Jesus made the great claim, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman." He went on to say that, "Ye are the branches." The branches in this passage are individual Christians, not the different denominations. 12 times in the 17 verses in this passage, the word abide or remain is used. Dear friends, if we are to abide or live, we must do so in Christ. Thus we are united with Christ, or else we'll die spiritually. Dear friends, the Bible teaches us that we are baptized into Christ, and in Christ is where we obtain salvation. We become a new creature. We're redeemed of our sins. And we have that salvation. Number two, notice with me that the Bible says that we are baptized into His name. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus was speaking with His apostles just before His ascension. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Now, you may say, "See, preacher, there's an instance where the Bible says that we're baptized in." But the literal reading in the original language is that we're baptized into the name of. The word that is used here denotes a union or a communion. This phrase is used when a slave was sold to another master. You see, he was signed into the name of, denoting ownership. Notice, Jesus Christ has all authority. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." If it is the case that Jesus has all authority, and he does, then he is Lord and Master. We are therefore subject to him, to obey whatever it is that he has commanded. Jesus himself, while he was here on this earth, in Luke 6 and verse 46, asked, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Dear friends, we're baptized into his name for the remission of sins. In Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name," this time it is in reference by his authority, "among all nations beginning at Jerusalem." Now let's consider the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, when those present had heard the gospel, and they asked what they must do. Peter responded in Acts 2 and verse 38 and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for," not because of, "in order to obtain the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Dear friends, we're baptized into Christ's name for salvation. Later in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, again Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Dear friends, there simply is not another name. Notice some examples of this with me. Acts chapter 8 and verse 16. In Samaria, they obeyed the gospel, but concerning the Holy Spirit, we read, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus." In Acts chapter 19 and verse 5 in Ephesus, Paul found some disciples who had been baptized with John's baptism, but that baptism was no longer valid. And Paul preached unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 5 of Acts 19, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. These two passages speak of people who were baptized by the authority of Jesus the Christ. You see, he is Lord, and he gave the commandment. When we are baptized into his name, we have life through his name. Consider with me John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. In John 20, beginning at verse 30, John wrote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, obey the commandments that he has given, and in doing so, we can have life through his name. The Bible teaches that we are baptized into the name of Jesus the Christ. Number three, we are baptized into Jesus' death. Jesus shed his blood in his death. John chapter 19 and verse 34. When we are baptized into his death, we therefore contact that blood. Notice with me Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. In Romans 6, beginning at verse 3, Paul said, "Know ye not, or don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." Dear friends, Jesus' blood is what washes away our sins. We do not deny that. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the latter part of the verse, John very clearly said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Dear friends, there is nothing special about the water. It is not the water that washes away our sins. It's Jesus' blood. However, God put water into the plan. Jesus' blood also cleanses us from our sins. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, John said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Number three, the blood of Jesus Christ provides the remission of sins. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for, not because of, in order to, obtain the remission of sin." Number four, by Jesus' blood, we are sanctified. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, the writer says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffering without the gate." The word sanctified literally has a meaning to be set apart. Number five, by the blood of Jesus the Christ, we are reconciled. Notice with me the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, or demonstrated, his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Baptism, simply being dunked in water, does not wash away our sins. It does not cleanse us. It does not remit the sins. It does not sanctify us. It does not reconcile us. You see, we must obey Jesus' command for the right purpose. Paul said concerning this to the Christians at Rome in Romans 6 and verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." The intent of our obedience is just as important as obedience itself. Dear friends, only the blood of Jesus Christ can take away our sins. And we must be willing to obey the command to be baptized in order to contact that blood. And that blood will wash away our sins. We contact the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism by our obedience to that command. The Bible teaches, dear friends, that we are baptized into Christ's death. Finally this morning, number four, we are also baptized into his body. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Paul said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." What is the body? It is not Jesus' literal body. Rather, it's the divine institution over which Jesus is the head and he is the Savior. Notice some passages with me, such as Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. The Apostle Paul said, beginning at verse 21, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." A similar statement is made in Colossians 1 and verse 18, where Paul there says, "And he," referring to Christ, "is the head of the body, the church." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, there Paul said, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Dear friends, the church is the body. Jesus is the only head of only one body or church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said, "There is one body." Dear friends, if it is the case that there is only one body, and the body is the church, dear friends, it is the case that there is only one church. Therefore, the church that belongs to Jesus the Christ must match the pattern of the New Testament, and it is therefore a distinctive body. The church, or the body, was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The church is not just some man-made organization. It is a divine institution that belongs to Jesus the Christ, because he purchased it. Therefore, dear friends, don't you think it should wear his name, the church that belongs to Christ? Dear friends, the church is also God's family. Notice this with me, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul said to Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Dear friends, when Paul referred to the house of God, he was not talking about a church building. We should not refer to a church building as the house of God. We should not even refer to the church building as the church. It's the building that belongs to the church. The church is the people. It's the people that belong to God. And when we are the church, we are the house of God or the family. We often use the word house or home to denote a family. And dear friends, in order for us to be in God's family, we must meet His terms or conditions. We must be born into His family according to how He has told us in His Word. He has told us in the New Testament that we are born by being baptized, and we are baptized into the family. We're born again. Dear friends, the Bible has much to say about baptism. The Bible says that we are baptized into Christ. The Bible also says that we're baptized into His name. It says that we're baptized into His death, where He shed His blood, and therefore we contact that blood in baptism. And it also says that we're baptized into His body. Dear friends, if baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith, and that it is not essential for salvation, then, dear friends, it truly is an empty ritual. But baptism is not an empty ritual. It is very significant. It is what puts us into Christ, where we have the salvation from our past sins. We're baptized by His authority and by being washed in His blood, and we're placed into His body, the church, God's family. Jesus the Christ very clearly said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Dear friends, have you been baptized into these things? Why don't you obey from the heart the commands that Jesus gave? And by your obedience to those commands, He Himself will add you to His church.
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.